Watching a Watch, episode 48. How are you doing, guys?
Doing good, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah. I know, we're still at it. I couldn't believe it. I was just like, I just turned on my laptop here and I just saw these two goons in front of me. Yeah, that's great. We'll have a chat for an hour anyway. Sure, we'll make it. Anyway, you know, our tastes are so alike. I'm sure we've watched the same stuff. So, you know, so we'll have a quick rundown. What have we looked at? And Dahmer, who's watching that?
I saw all of it.
Yeah,
did you?
I watched the whole season also.
Yeah.
Did you? Yeah.
And I enjoyed it, to be honest.
So this is after we watched episode one and discussed it a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I wasn't mad about it, but Mark, you said you'd watched a few more episodes. I saw you, Mike, and you said it turned around. It went back to when he was younger.
Yeah.
And that's when it got good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is.
I think the lad who played him did a very good job, in fairness.
Quicksilver from the X-Men.
That said, he was far better in this than he was in the X-Men, I'll tell you that. Mm-hmm.
So should they have made episode two, episode one? Is there an argument for that? Or should they have gone with the whole let's show you the end and then flick, or near the end and flick back to the start kind of thing?
Oh, I'm so sick of that. I really am.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, Steve, to be honest. I don't know. Like, I know we had a conversation in this house, but is it just too dark?
Yeah.
But then the rest of the episodes, I know there's a couple of them that do reach those depths. But by and large, the first one was the worst.
Yeah.
Because he was right at the end of his fucking devolution at that point, like, and you know, he wasn't even bothered to tell you your body's really at that stage. It was bleak enough. But look at you know, I'm going to double down on the recommendation from the previous episode, but do watch Dahmer. I do think it's worth sticking with it for the full season. Mm. It was a great insight for people who weren't reading newspapers in the 70s. Mm. There's a lot there.
Yeah, having watched it all, I don't know if I gained a whole lot out of it.
Michael, what? Not even joy? Did you not love the litter of bodies everywhere?
Well, that's the thing. I'd been too exposed prior, I won't shit on
trying to escape the cops.
See, I thought you'd be watching this at half mast, but obviously you need to take a break from it. you need to start watching the Disney Channel for a while and then come back to it.
Okay. So this is often where we differ, though. So if you've got to grips already with the Jeffrey Dahmer story, maybe it's not as interesting. Mm-hmm. But like, I knew he was a serial killer. I had a vague idea, you know, and that's kind of it. Mm-hmm. The most I knew about him was he's in a song called Fan Club. Written by Picture House, an Irish band from the 90s, early noughties. That's about as much as I know about them.
No way.
That's more than you knew about Jeffrey Dahmer.
That is more, yeah. The chorus was, it's about this guy who's actually a serial killer. And the chorus is, he loves Jeffrey Dahmer, wishes he was Son of Sam. He loves reciting segments from The Silence of the Lambs, and so on. Goes on like this. But yeah, so if you don't know as much as Mike knows, which is most people, just fucking watch Dahmer, right? Steve, what about the Rings of Power? Tell me, you're still flagellating yourself with that.
I know, and you know what? I've come around to the opinion that you were right all along, and it was absolute horseshit.
Yes.
Talking for slow learners, yeah.
Talking with special needs.
You know, I was living in hope for 10 episodes or whatever it was. Yeah. And I was just waiting for it. Okay, it's this one. It has to be this one. It's definitely going to get good. It's going to be like the book. Not even like the book, just like a movie a little bit. They nailed it with, you know, the visuals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that, yeah.
But the rest was a lot left to be desired. So anyway, I thought there were aspects to it that I was like, oh yeah, that was cool. And then others that there was just too many negatives, I think. They just weren't up to par. That's it.
Were the negatives also related to aiming at a younger audience? Or was it just
that they were... Okay. No, not at all. No, it's just the writing or the storytelling. Like,
just wasn't great. Yeah.
It just wasn't great. And, you know, initially I'd been hoping, and it sort of, it had the upper hand over House of Dragon. for quite a while.
Really?
For me. Yeah, for a good few episodes, because House of Dragons sort of started off slow.
Okay, yeah, there was a few very slow episodes in House of Dragons.
Yeah, and whereas in the Rings of Power, they were steaming along, you know. But very evident.
She swam the channel very
well. Well, and then about four episodes ago, the Jeepers did the tide turn. Game of Thrones finished up very strong. I thought.
Oh, no, I have an amazing segue here. Not into House of Dragon, but we can come back. No. So pretend I didn't mention that I had a segue, because it'd be better if I.
Okay.
Well, like, I feel bad that Rings of Power didn't turn out the way you wanted to, Steve, because I know you were enjoying it. But it wasn't just you. Rings of Power has like a really big following. It was number one on Amazon Prime for a long time, actually. In fact, it was only knocked off the number one spot this week by a new show that Amazon have released called The Peripheral. Has anyone seen that?
God. Watch that master at work.
It's more than half mass, Steve.
Yeah.
So that segue reminds me of my podcast master's dissertation.
Very good.
So we can talk about The Peripheral now, because I've said.
Let's talk about The Peripheral. So yeah, you tell us about The Peripheral there, Mark. Give us an introduction.
Well, if I'm talking to anyone about this, the way I would start the conversation would be, have you seen Ready Player One? And if they go yes, and go, it's like that. At least that's what they want you to think. And then it's a bit different. So essentially, we have hard times for everybody. It's set in 2099, actually. And I don't know if they understand it. It's based on a series of books set in 2099. And it features Chloe Grace Moretz. Sorry, I was looking up her name because I want to make it balls of it, right? Chloe Grace Moretz plays Flynn. Uh-huh. And her brother Burton are trying to make money by playing games online, essentially. Except online now is a lot more immersive in 2099 than it is now. You put on a VR headset and you're essentially in the game, right? Her brother then, and in the background, they're trying to use this money to pay for medication for their sick mother. Burton then finds this next gen VR headset that puts you 100% into the game. There's no controller.
When is this again?
2099.
Oh, I can't wait.
So they get this new headset that puts her right into the game. There's no controller or anything else needed. You're actually in there. And then this is where the stakes are really high and she can win lots of money. But of course, the stakes really are high, both in the game and in the real world. So that's kind of what The Peripheral is about.
Geez, almost like The Matrix, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is, yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine if I
hadn't made The Matrix.
I know. How much Ready Player One?
This would have.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be controversial now and say that this is better than Ready Player One. I didn't really like Ready Player One.
I don't think anybody did.
Well,
a lot of people did.
I don't think we're the target demographic for that. Whereas,
fair enough.
It was more of a kiddies matinee. Whereas this has got a dark element to it. It's got a bit of a Bondy element to it. It's got a bit of, that's what I gather from the trailer. We haven't seen it in episode one, let's say. There's something about it, though. It's not strong. Well, I'll give it that. I appreciated the story. I appreciated that they've put a lot of money into it. But there was something missing. There's something a bit amateur-y about it. Not amateur-y, but just not up to standard. I don't know what it is.
My finger on it. It's English.
Oh, I know. It's not that either.
It's got a like a, you know, the way the modern Doctor Who is just a bit shit.
You mean as in it's a bit English, as in it's a bit like The Bell or something? Or
it's like there have been English attempts at sci-fi shows.
Is that what it is?
That are always just a bit fucking cheap looking.
That's probably what it is. Yeah.
Doctor Who has a massive following, though. Like
but it's not it's not quite mainstream, though. You know,
it's not. No, it is niche. And like Torchwood was a show that I loved when it was on.
Yeah.
which was an offshoot of Doctor Who and British.
Yeah.
I know what you mean, though, Mike. There was another one. There was it like a bodyguard type. Was it called The Bodyguard? Was it Bodyguard?
Yes, it was the Bodyguard, but it wasn't sci-fi. It was
no. But it still had that kind of a. It's nearly there, but
yeah,
it's just you can tell it's regional. You know, yeah. You know, yeah. There's something because you know,
and this goes all the way back to Blake Seven.
Yeah.
You've got great sci-fi ideas that just aren't executed very well.
Yeah.
Mike, I'm reading between the lines here and I feel like you agree with Steve.
Strangely enough, yes. Mm. Yes. It doesn't happen often. But
there are eclipses now and again, yeah. And so it stars line on. Yeah.
Yeah. I really wanted to like it. I like the idea of the
jacking in.
Well,
careful.
What's his name? William Gibson is the guy behind it, and Neuromancer. I really enjoyed.
His
seminal works back in a really long time ago.
Back in the day, yeah.
So I thought, you know, they've got a grade A writer behind this. It's got to have a lot of ideas, but I found the ideas were kind of samey, not very original. I really struggled to care about anybody. You know, it was kind of,
great point. Yeah.
Even when Mammy is struggling for her medicine and stuff, it's kind of, does it really matter if she doesn't make it to the next episode? It's kind of,
there didn't seem to be enough care there. They were more concerned about, you know, there's too much. There wasn't enough focus on that for us to care about that character.
I agree with that. Yeah,
yeah. And I've got a sick mother, and I stubbed my toe. You know, or the dog is sick. You know, that kind of thing.
I don't agree with everything that you guys are saying. I do agree that they didn't invest much in the mother. It was like you said, Steve, it's like, and the mother's sick, you know?
Yeah.
Like it is set up as the main motivation for everything they do. Yeah. But the relationship between the brother and sister is far better. It's far more interesting. And there's a bit more gravitas to it. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll develop that though over the course of the series. So like my experience with this show was I started watching it, immediately went, I made a terrible mistake in watching this. Because I hated Ready Player One so much.
Yeah.
And it's quite a long movie as well. Mm. So I hated it for quite a long time. And I said, here we go again with this bullshit. And then there's a scene in the middle. I'm not going to spoil it, but there's a kind of a showdown outside a bar that actually reminded me a bit of Jack Reacher.
Right.
And
after
that, then I went, oh, hang on. I'm interested in this now.
Yeah.
Now there was still weaker moments during it. Mm. Like there is a bit of a Bondy scene near the end. Mm-hmm. When she's in the like Matrix, quote unquote. I didn't think that was great. I was like, but I was still hooked on how the characters do. And I'm far more interested in the real world effects of the games she's playing and the consequences to her life than anything that might happen with her mammy. Like, but maybe, then again, maybe that's just me, but I think it is in the writing. So I'm fairly determined to watch more of this because I like you, Mike, I'm always looking for good sci-fi.
Yeah. I think it's just the way they've gone with it, the whole, metaverse parallel that they're trying to put in there. Like most people aren't that interested. Like VR headsets have come and gone and people have voted with their feet. They just don't care.
I still use mine.
Yeah, so do I.
And like Meta have released another Oculus just a couple of months ago that's selling really well.
And the Sony VR2 is just about to launch.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mike. I can't agree with you. I am talking about daily. Like, probably use it.
I'm going to end up like Paul Krugman saying the internet isn't going to amount to much.
Yeah. Be more like David Bowie, Mike. Yeah. More like Bowie.
Yeah. Yeah. So the year is 2022. Mike has
I hear what you're saying though. It's getting a bit of a trope, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like that is the one problem to this, yeah. That is the problem here. Like, and you've already both said it, like, the Ready Player One is a lot of what this story is, and The Matrix is a lot of the rest. And there are a few couple of unique things thrown in that sandwich, but I suppose it's whether you come down the side if it's enough to make it interesting or not. For me, at the moment, I'm saying it is. I think for you guys, it's probably a no.
It's a no. I'm probably not going to watch another episode of this. I think I'm done. And I went back and watched the trailer for season one, which gives you a bit more. And seeing what's coming up, I'm just, I'm just not interested. I'm not worth it. It's not worth investing the time for me. It's not the worst show.
Fair enough.
I should watch this week. Probably wouldn't say this one.
But sometimes looking at, sorry, Mark. When you're looking at this, and they've got a lot of is it, isn't it? You know, what's real, what isn't real, going on. And then you look back at Severance, which is within the last year, which took the same idea and just did it so much better. That really is kind of the final nail in the coffin for me.
Yeah, I'd see what you're coming. Yeah.
Fair enough.
It was unique.
Severance found a unique space in this kind of realm, didn't it? Yeah. But sometimes shows start slow and then get better and better right up to the series finale, like House of the Dragon, which you dropped at the start of the week.
The master at work. Oh, my God.
Steve, I think you wanted to say a few things about
House of the Dragon. Do you have an OnlyFans channel, Mark?
No, it's only
fans. I really should. Yeah. I really should. All I would do would be talk about different shows and segue between. Drink beer.
House of Dragon. What a finale. I was very impressed with it. Has anyone else seen it?
Yeah, for sure. Before,
Mike, if
they get much better looking in the finale, or
I don't think you really care.
I never got over that.
You're so reductive, Mike.
So shallow. Did you watch it, Mike?
The finale, no.
We're not going to spoil anything anyway.
No, we're not going to spoil anything.
I didn't even get past like episode two.
Okay, you need to double down there, invest a bit of time because it's worth it. I was back to my Game of Thrones happy place that I haven't been to in four seasons. Mm-hmm. It was back to like, oh shit, when's the next one? We look it up, 2024. You go, God damn it! it seems so long away, but. It's back to that kind of a feeling with it. It's really good. I mean, the storytelling is excellent. And they've invested enough in the characters that you do care.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the big thing in it. It's not that it's, there's a big story and there's a bigger story that's building in the background. It's an epic.
Epic scale, and there's magic and dragons, but it's still the human story that keeps you coming back to see what happens
for
next.
Sure.
Which is really well done. Like.
You know, even the magic and dragons bit took a back seat for most of the season.
They keep mentioning the Song of Ice and Fire, though.
I know. Yeah.
Keep bringing it up.
I'm just still too hurt and resentful about him spending time on this project instead of finishing the fucking show.
Finishing books.
Finishing the winds of winter. Isn't that
the actual books?
He's never finishing that, Mike. He'll die before he finishes it. The thing is, when he dies, then someone else can finish it.
Like those two fuckwits that did the fucking TV show,
Look, they just needed to throw something out there to get the money in, it's not even as good as fan fiction,
But the same thing happened with Robert Jordan, who wrote The Wheel of Time, which is the Prime TV show. Robert Jordan invented Conan. That's how old he is. So he wrote 10 books and then died with 2 books to go in the series. So they bought in Brandon Sanderson and he finished them from the notes that he had made, and to be honest, he made a really good job. I think he probably did better than
right
how well the really, really, really old Robert Jordan would have done.
Oh, it was a win-win, so.
It was a win, yeah. And then we got the TV show because it's a finale.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, there are cases like H.P. Lovecraft had August Derleth do his take his notes into new stuff. And what do you call it? Frank Herbert's son and a couple of collaborators took kind of prequels for Dune. They weren't quite as well received, but it's not.
Dune's a funny one, though.
Yeah, yeah. The
big problem with Dune is the one that we find with a lot of shows is that there's not a whole lot of likable people in there.
Yeah,
you know, there really isn't. There really isn't. You know.
Yeah. But wouldn't you wonder where these great writers get all of their ideas? Which is a topic that was covered in the bonus episode of Sandman that dropped a couple of weeks back.
He's on
fire. You know what I was telling you guys? I was watching Sandman and I was kind of sprinkling it out across my time because I didn't want to be done with it. So I was enjoying it that much.
Oh, right.
And then when I was done with it, the next thing then, they released a bonus episode that nobody was expecting.
Wow. Is it
the first one,
Mark? Is it that good? The series, like,
I think it is. I really liked it. Like, I don't even know if it's been renewed or not, but I think it's really good.
Like, is it? We watched episode one. Does it get better? That's the question, really. You know, because episode one is, you heard our criticism of it, it was maybe a bit too Doctor Strange. You know, invented shit as they went along.
It's without the Doctor Strange.
It still does that. It does. Yeah. It still does that. But look, I don't know if you didn't like it, you're probably gonna like this one.
Okay.
The bonus episode that dropped is actually two episodes in one. Mm-hmm. The first one is a 15-minute cartoon about cats. I shit you not. And then what? The rest of it then.
Suddenly ears prick up.
Yeah. Tell me more. Yeah.
Well, basically, you guys would love it. It's about this cat that visited the dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
And it learned some stuff while it was here. I've seen some things, man.
Yeah.
And it basically is gathering up all the cats everywhere it goes and telling the story, passing on the word, because if he can tell the story to enough cats, then they'll be able to set the world to right.
Nice.
Which doesn't end well for humanity, as you can imagine.
Yeah. So, we have to watch the rest of the show?
Yeah, I was going to ask next. Can we just skip to the last one? Yeah, oh, brilliant.
You can just watch the last episode in the first 15 minutes and you get that story. And although Sandman is in it, if you didn't watch Sandman or know that this was in the Sandman series, you wouldn't spot him.
Right. Lovely. Perfect.
Okay.
Like I knew who he was. I went, all right, that's Sandman there then, obviously.
That's Sandman there changing the kitty litter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you boys hear that best argument ever against a flat earth? Yeah, if the earth was truly flat, then cats would have pushed everything off the edge.
There you go, Mike.
That's the argument we need. That is
there you go, Mike. Yeah. There's no refuting it now.
But it's funny, like, because when that episode dropped on Netflix, I didn't notice it. Because, you know, sometimes if you kind of left an earlier episode in the season early, it thinks that you still need to watch that episode, so it puts that up on your, like, continue watching list.
Right.
So my Sandman episode was in there, and I ignored it. And then a friend of ours messaged and said, have you seen the bonus episode? I went, bonus episode? So it was a great little surprise. So
if you'd gone down and looked through your, like, something like a playlist...
You beat me to it.
Yeah.
That's where I was going. I thought, if only we'd have better.
I'm done with this. I'm done with you guys.
Come on, Mike. There's one left. What?
Right. So the playlist. Who wants to tell us what the playlist is about?
Yeah, I'll tell you about playlists, about the origins of Spotify. And it was created and formed and the rows that to go through to make it profitable, essentially.
Oh, spoiler, Steve, telling us it becomes profitable.
Are they even profitable yet? Or Twitter certainly isn't.
Tech company being profitable.
Yeah, it's totally ridiculous. But I don't know, profitable on the face of it. Yeah, so it's starts with Daniel Ek. Is that how you pronounce it?
Ege.
Ek, yeah. Yeah, I'm not quite sure. But yes.
I'm making shit up as I go along.
Oh, because it sounds Swedish. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So. So he was the founder, the guy with the vision, but he had written software previously that was, well, these days it's like, well, of course you wrote that. I mean, that's pretty obvious. Surely, you know, if you collect all the stuff and put it in one place, people will buy it. Mm-hmm. And so he wrote some software they sold to a company. He got on along well, one of the co-founders of the other company, and they decided to go into business together. So this is all about the trials and tribulations of getting Spotify together. So it's told in a very interesting way. There's six characters in this, six main characters, and each episode they tell it from their perspective. So the first episode tells us pretty much how. Or the origin story, and then how it got off the ground, and then up to a certain point. And then it flicks to, oh, you think that's how it happened? Wait till I tell you what really happened. And then the next episode is from his perspective, and then the next one's from hers, but and so on and so forth. And it's all members of the team. There's some great storytelling in this, some great camera work in this.
We should address the elephant in the room is that it's not in English.
It also has not very attractive people in it.
That's not, neither of those are the elephant in the room though.
what is the elephant in the room?
The elephant in the room is that this is a dramatization. A lot of it follows it, but episode 6 is completely fictional. Just so you know.
And what's the source material, do you know?
For...
like, is it just from the news, or did they talk to the people, or
from episode 1 to 5?
Yeah. I think
it's well documented.
There was an investigative journalist brought out a book about it.
Yeah, there's the core. I mean, there's so many aspects to it. I mean, like it, each episode could be a book. You know, really good. I thought the my favorite episode of this, I absolutely ate this. I was just going to watch one episode and I was like, oh, playlist, yeah, I'll watch a bit of that. Yeah. And then I was reminded of The Dropout and WeWork and all those sort of startup type series that we've watched over the last year or so. And this one I felt was the strongest one. It was my favorite one. And it's kind of one of those, I only said it to my wife the last night. I was like, God, you know, I miss it. I finished it and I'm like, fuck, I wish there was an episode or a season two. You know, it was so good. Because I watched two episodes first night, three the next night, and then one at lunchtime the following day. it was brilliant. It was like a really good novel. Some great performances. The episode with the lawyer, that lady who joined.
You're a lot further ahead than I am.
That's episode 3 or more, maybe. Yeah. But the camera work in that, the stage, it's like a stage show, a lot of it, because most of it takes part around a central corridor, and the way they work, it's, you know, the Scooby-Doo corridors where they all run in out of doors. It's like that. So when the camera pans around to look the other direction, it's completely different again. You know, like the crowd that were there seconds ago are gone, or else a crowd has come out of nowhere, and you get the perception of, oh, a new day has dawned, or, you know, time has moved. It's just very, very well done, very clever.
That's an episode three, is it? I've only seen the pilot, but I have started episode 2 because I quite like this as well. But episode 2 now is leading me to dislike it a little bit, because when it started, I had it set to my Netflix defaults to dubbing, because I typically can't stomach subtitles. But the dubbing was quite bad, so I said, you know what? I'm just going to do it the old-fashioned way. So I switched it over to Swedish language with English subtitles.
No way.
I started watching it. Yeah, I told you at the time when I did this. Remember I joked about how Steve texted me and I said, I've just missed a load of the show.
I thought you were just trolling us.
Yeah, so
I did. I watched the subtitles. It didn't get in the way of me enjoying the first episode. It was good. But the thing is, like, I'm a huge admirer of all of the kind of software development philosophies that have come out of Spotify. And when it started off, I said, we might be getting the show that I always wanted, which is they're going to dig into that. And we're going to see how they pulled together one of the greatest software engines in the world, you know.
That's episode four.
So there is an episode around that.
Yeah, you know his head coder guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's an episode where it's all him telling the story from his perspective.
Okay, I'll definitely watch that episode then. So then I enjoyed the story of your man, Daniel, and everything that he was doing and his approach to, and the whole talking about, like, the whole idea of a startup fucking terrifies me. But I enjoyed their approach to it, like, and it's good. It's enjoyable. It is very like we're getting a swath of these kind of startup, as you mentioned, Steve, docuseries or dramatization.
Well, even back as far as Halt and Catch Fire, that's what that was about. It's very like that, you know.
Yeah. But this is a good one. It is a good one. I think they keep it very snappy. Like, they've got a really good sense for when to move on from a story. Like, I felt like the timing and the pacing of it was really, really good. Like, there was an example. He hacked Google at one point in his career after they rejected him when he was looking for a job with them. And I think they spent, all told, maybe 4 minutes telling that. And it was perfect. Like, they told the story, they got out.
Yeah.
And you're just left there going, holy shit, this hacked Google. And then they carry on. And it was really, it was really, really good. Like, there was a couple of things like that. But I don't want to spoil any more. I know it's current affairs, so technically you can't spoil it, but I didn't know he did that. So I enjoyed it. I would recommend it.
I really like that they dip back into, you know, the activism, the protests of Pirate Bay, Kazaa, Napster, uTorrent, all of those. We all remember to turn that into a legit business. No one saw it or how you could do it. No one, and they actually mentioned it. No one wants to fucking touch that. You know, no company wanted to go near that because of what was going on in the court cases. So it was a genius move. It was a genius time to do it. And you can see so many other businesses that are based off the same model, that are obvious now, but they weren't then, you know.
They did a good way in the show of reflecting the time. Because, like, I'm sure we can all remember when Pirate Bay went down for 2 days, and after it came back up again, everyone's going, ha ha ha, they could only take them down for 2 days. Like, They use that, you know, news story really well in this to kind of give the context you just provided. So the setting was good. Mike, you've been very quiet, unusually quiet. Did you like this?
No, I fucking hated it.
I was wondering why it was that way. You're quiet. Well, tell us what folded your arms, sir.
Firstly, the aesthetics of it, it really wasn't pretty enough at all. I just couldn't help but compare towards We Crashed in every scene.
Much prettier.
You had much better looking people and interesting characters. Like the main guy in We Crashed was a fucking lunatic. And you just, every time he was on screen, you're wondering, what is he going to do next? You know? Whereas this is just a fucking geek, you know.
Well, actually, episode two, he's not unlike him. The part Mr. Later played. Episode two is from Per Sundin's perspective, which is his investor. Sony. He's a lunatic.
I can't say I'm ever going to get to that stage, but it.
Oh, Mike.
No, it. You know, I've never actually been on Spotify. I've never downloaded a song from Spotify.
What?
I've no interest in the platform. I've no interest in modern music.
Oh, okay.
It's not on vinyl. Speak to me at all. You know?
He's at home with his wax cylinders on his gramophone.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
the old 78s, you know.
He just has a quartet out in the shed at the back. Yeah.
So, Mike, would you describe yourself then as a reluctant watcher?
I'd nearly say he could be the watcher. So anyway, we agree we should watch to the playlist. Yeah, if you're going to watch it this week,
if you're not Mike,
yeah,
you'd probably like it.
You'd love it. Yeah.
Mike, tell us about The Watcher.
So, perfect all-American family, although potentially a hint of Democrat about them. We'll let that fly. Moves into a suburban dream home, and it's got everything they ever wished for. They might have stretched themselves a little bit financially to get there, but they knew they deserved this home, and they were damn well going to enjoy it. So when they come and the removal people put all their stuff in the house, everything looks great. Until one fine day, they meet the neighbors. Turns out the neighbors aren't quite what they expected. It wasn't.
Batshit is what they are. Completely batshit. Yeah.
They have a certain set of expectations in a resident of the neighborhood that they weren't informed of before they moved in. And the show is really all about how the neighborhood behavior committee deals with these reprobate incomers who don't respect their ways.
Yeah, it's a lovely area. Oh, I love this house. Oh my God, get out. No, I love it. Yeah, it's gorgeous. Yeah, seriously. This is a get out, but it's right. Get out from the neighbors. I'm not. Yeah. I have to mention it is the cast in this is just off the charts.
It's so good. Yeah.
You've got
Margot Martindale as the Margot crazy Martindale. Neighbor.
She's You've got Richard Kind, who's born to play Peter Griffin when they do the live action Family Guy. They've got Mia Farrow. They've got Shooter McGavern, Christopher McDonald. I eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast. You know, Bobby Cannavale, and of course Naomi Watts and Jennifer Coolidge. Jeepers, it's just.
And we should probably mention Mia Farrow in the
oh, I did.
Pigtails. What did you?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Almost like you weren't listening, Mark.
Yeah. It's almost like he's got his own agenda already. Isn't it? So, watch.
So you like this, Mike.
You like this, Mike? This is right up your street, Mike, I'd say.
I liked it right up until the very end. Fucking hated the ending.
It's a bad ending. This is where he's running around.
Mm.
Yeah, that was poor enough.
Yeah. It was a bit. That was the final nail in the coffin.
So did you? So you didn't like it, Steve, until
not that at much. All? No. Okay. Do you remember we watched American Horror Story family living in a house thing?
Yes.
Season one of American Horror Story. Mm-hmm. 10 years ago now.
Yeah. That it was like watching that again.
Mm.
Because even some of the characters looked like they'd been in both.
Mm. Yeah.
And I just got the same, well, it's the same kind of production, the same setting nearly. And I didn't like that show. So I was sort of going, yeah. Already had their arms folded when I start watching. Now, I don't know what happens after episode one, now, in fairness.
Yeah, right. Neither do I. I've read
a non-spoilery piece about the last episode and the series as a whole. Mm-hmm. And from so what I've read from that...
So you have to recuse yourself.
Well, I'm kind of going, this isn't one I'm going to invest time in because I wanted to see... You know, because there are some of the cast in there that are obviously brilliant that I'd like to see more of, but not worth it for me, I think. I kind of tapped out in this because it's all a bit, you know, those tropes that, you know, if someone explains something to another person when they ask the question, instead of jumping to a conclusion, there wouldn't have been a story.
And I think they call them explainers. Yeah.
Is it explainers? Had they done explainers, it would have been fine. You know, but they're just dodging it again to make a story. And I was just like, I don't have time for that shit. So I bailed.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So one thing just on the contrast of American Horror Story. Well, it's not a contrast, just by comparison.
Mm.
You're kind of assuming that there's a supernatural origin for some of the stuff that's happening. And one of the things that was keeping me interested is I don't know if that's where they're going.
Well,
not necessarily supernatural. Not necessarily supernatural. But there's,
American Horror Story
there's a thing. Oh, I know. But there's a thing, like, you know, that hasn't been explained to us, and there's obviously a big thing, and I'm not even sure. I don't want to say anymore.
Sorry, like, let me just clarify. I have watched all of this.
What?
Oh, have you? Okay.
Yeah, I watched
the whole season. I want to talk to you after this.
So when you said the end, you were talking about the last episode.
Yeah, yeah, the actual.
I was talking about the end of the first episode.
Oh, okay. I'm just joking, baby. Yeah.
So you liked it then, right the way up until the last episode?
Yeah, yeah, it kept me going. It's got that kind of off feeling about the neighborhood, and it builds on the off feeling episode by episode, and you keep getting reveals on some new fuckery that's going on in the neighborhood, and the family, they take the first instances of weirdness, and it damages them. So every time there's some new weirdness afterwards, their reactions are far more than they should be
based on past experience.
If they'd just been taken out of context, this happens now, but because all this shit has happened before, they're like, oh, Jesus fucking Christ. And there's a nice bit of whodunit going on, because there's any number of characters on the street who could
be the watcher.
In every episode, they kind of push you towards one or the other. They're kind of leading you down the road. It's definitely that guy. And then the next episode, it's, oh, no, it's her. You know, so they do that quite nicely.
They push you towards like five people in the first episode.
Yeah.
You know.
They do kind of set up the Skittles, all right, for the warning that's going to come later. Yeah.
Yeah. So overall, I'd say it's enjoyable, but the ending is hard to forgive.
And we know you don't forgive those.
It's not like I'm fucking petty and vindictive.
It's not like they want you to watch episode or season two or anything, is it?
Is there a season two coming out?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I'd say so.
Oh my goodness.
I'd say so. I don't know if it's I don't know if it's been clarified yet or not, but as we fiercely Google. It hasn't been renewed yet.
My opinion overall is it's worth a shot. Maybe turn it off in the second last episode.
Many shows, though. I feel like you say that about 90% of the shows you review. Good. Last episode was awful.
Yeah.
I've only watched the first episode, and I was enjoying that. Partially because I was trying to figure out what's real and what's not here.
Yeah,
I was a bit invested because the idea of someone trying to buy this amazing house is, you know, there's a bit of vanity and ego involved, but also he's trying to do something really nice for his kids by ripping his oldest daughter away from all the friends that she knows and putting her somewhere where she knows nobody. They kind of tore up all their investments and pensions and savings so that they can have this house. Like, so they're all the way in. Kind of reminded me a bit of the Money Pit, the scenario there.
Tom Hanks
back in the day. So I am a bit sympathetic to that guy because he's done this now. So it's you're all my eggs in this basket.
There's actually a great character who's a real estate agent in it.
Stifler's mom.
She reminds me so much of what was that show, Selling Sunset? Where they're trying to sell all these LA super houses. She does that to a T. It's really well done. Got a lot of time for her performance in it.
So we're split on this one as well, I think. So I am going to watch another episode. Mike has watched all the episodes. Steve, you're not going to watch anymore.
No.
Fair enough.
I'm not, though. I can't find any. I see a lot of talk about season two because of the way things were left openish at the end of season one. Yeah. Several threads kind of, but anyway.
You just have to stay tuned to watch what I watch to tell you about whether it gets renewed or not, because you can't Google it for yourself.
Mike, you need to go straight to the playlist episode 3 and then come back to me.
Okay.
Right? If you're out after episode three, I'm okay with it. But I think you need to watch more of it. All right.
Okay. Okay, I'll do that for you, Steve.
Good man. Thanks, man.
Given our
watch episode four.
Yeah. So I think that's it for this week.
That's quite a bucket full of TV for everybody.
Yeah. So from Mike, Mark, and Steve, stay classy.
Stay classy.
Fun classy.
Jeez, I'm all on my own. Okay.